it up a notch.
G'day, teachers, and welcome to Tech It Up a Notch. I'm Rach, your curriculum guide, here to help you connect tech to powerful learning.
And I'm Claire, your tech guru, ready to demystify the digital world for your classroom. All right, what are we talking about today?
Today we are talking about something small but mighty.
Ooh.
Me. No.
So true. Pocket rocket.
Can you tell we're not scripted? I just.
Yeah.
All right.
It's one of the smallest and most versatile coding tools, I would say. What do you think?
Yeah, I would say so. But I'm a bit excited because I have noticed that there's a new one coming out.
Yes. And I was telling our friend about it yesterday.
Yeah, it's got like a little screen that you can also code on top, making me think a little bit of a micro bit in that way. So I'll be interested to see when that comes out. But for now, we're just going to talk about the classic version of this tool. But let's go to our listener question first before we reveal our answer.
All right.
Hi, Rach and Claire. I teach Stage 2 here in New South Wales, and I love that the Ozobots offer a screen-free option with the markers. But I'm struggling to link the colour codes into a subject other than digital technologies. Do you have a practical idea that I could try that connects Ozobots to HSIE or an English outcome without having to jump into OzoBlockly just yet?
What a really good question, because if you have made the investment as a school to buy a set of these sort of equipment, you want to be able to use them for more than one thing.
Yes. I love the Ozobot.
Ozobots are tiny, about the size of a golf ball.
Yeah.
They wheel around like zippy things. And they've got colour sensors underneath. So when you first start using them, or if you're using them with younger learners, you literally just code with textures. So a black line on the ground, take a thick texture, and the Ozobot would find that black line and then follow it. And so then you use red, green, and blue in different combinations to say stop, go faster, turn a corner,
spin.
I like the tornado one.
Yeah. And you can make them dance too.
Yeah. Or I like the zigzag. Like the
yes, yes.
So different combinations of those colours will give an instruction to the Ozobot so it knows what to do next as it follows the black line around your page.
Yes, and they are just so good. And I love that when you're using them, if you buy the kit when you get it, you get the textures with it.
Yep.
And that'll probably come up later with the pros and cons. Mm. But sometimes I find regular colours don't quite match or can't read the right, if you don't have the right green, blue or red or something.
Yeah, and sometimes, yeah. Well, we may as well just launch into it because we're here. But sometimes I find kids and their fine motor skills, like colours will start to merge together because they've gone over the top.
Yeah.
So that can be problematic as well. But I have had success with regular textures.
Oh, not just their ones.
You just got to watch the blue's not too dark because it'll think it's black.
Yes. Yep. And I find that we've used in the kits we had, they've come with stickers as well. You can buy the stickers.
Magnet tiles as well that you can
use. Yes, that's right. I forgot we had those. Mm. Yes. But then also in the kit, there were blank ones to colour in as well. Yep. So rather than having to just draw a freehand these lines. Yeah.
Yep.
But it's just so fun.
I think there's a lot of good learning that comes from actually drawing the lines and doing the codes, because if your code is not correct, the Ozobot will not work.
Yes.
And so
you've got to figure that out.
And that's
the
same whether you're using a really complicated programming language or if you're using color tiles. It doesn't matter what you're using. You've got to have the correct code. Debug around that code. So it's good learning.
Yeah, for sure. And I just love that it's such a good tool to start with the little ones, because
you could
just definitely have a screen-free option with the younger learners with just the Ozobot and getting it to move, but also then you could progress to coding it to move as well.
That's right. Yeah. And so OzoBlockly is the platform that the Ozobots use. It's visual block coding. And there's actually levels within the app.
Yeah,
so,
there are.
You know, your level one's going to be easier than your level five. Five has a lot more options.
Mm.
But it's
similar to Scratch, isn't it? Like block coding.
I was going to say, it's like all of the other ways that you block code.
Yeah.
You know, if you can do one, you can figure out the rest. So.
Yeah, and you can sign up. Sysphera have this platform too, the classroom that you can set up for lessons.
I've never used it.
And there are so many resources on there as well for lessons and integrating. So we were looking for ideas for STEMMAD for our diocese a couple of years ago. We had a hands-on activity as one of the rotations, and we did one on Ozobots saving the oceans, and we linked it with sea bins, and we printed off all these pictures, but you could just draw them, but we were trying to save time. And they had around on this big piece of paper rubbish in the ocean, and then the sea bin on the end, and then you had to draw the line with the textures to, or use the stickers to make the line to pick up the rubbish and take it to the sea bin, and and leave the sharks and all the other things alone.
So my favorite way that I used them, I was impressed with myself, so I'll share it with all of you.
Don't you love that?
I thought it was clever. So I was working with a school. It was stage two learners, and they were doing one of the earth and space outcomes from the science curriculum, but they also had a set of Ozobots. So that's what they wanted to tie in together. And one of the things they were looking at was night and day. And so we created a sundial with our Ozobots. And so we had to like black out all the windows and close all the blinds. The sun was the torch. And we had a paper plate. I've got photos of it.
I've got video on my phone of when you did this in the office.
I have to do a post so that people can see, because it's hard to describe. But there was a paper plate. There was a pencil. And that sort of made the sundial. And then the Ozobot went round to...
You drew a line for it to follow, didn't you?
Yeah, yes. I drew a line for it to follow. Yeah. And then the Ozobot would go round, and that would, and it was very early on when they were learning to use them. And so that simulated the Earth going round, and then they could see where the time was.
I'll never forget that. Like, she literally came into work that day, said, "I've got to make a sundial with an Ozobot." I'm like, wow. I think you just marvel how other people work. Like, wow. Like, you're awesome.
And it was all lots of fun. And that was at their first sort of introduction into it. And then, of course, they could go on and do a whole lot more coding. And some of them were even then stopping on each hour, like when the matching it up with their plates.
And it was so nice when you showed us the videos of the kids then doing it. I'm like, wow. Like, you know. Yep.
And I'm trying to think of what we followed on with that afterwards.
You did. I remember there was a lot of practice.
I can't remember. To go back and have a look.
But that's such an amazing example of using the Ozobots. But you could definitely link it, like in the question to Hesse, for sure. Yeah. Very similar to how I've done it with Spheros, but you could definitely do it with Ozobots as well.
Around a map.
Traveling around on a map somewhere, going around the world, going to visiting different countries. But ways I've seen it used as well, in my boys' school, the librarian there was very innovative in using these a long time ago.
We should give a shout out to Fiona. She's wonderful.
Oh, we love you, Fiona. But Fiona did this with basically the whole school, and worked with our dear friend Lisa creating this. And it's all online. There's a blog, I think, about it, like from the early to mid 2000s, I think it was in. And it was just really revolutionary for its time, where she created story maps using the Ozobot. It's such a cool way. Like, she was a librarian at the school, and the RFF lessons with the students and my sons were in it, and they got to use them. And they were awesome.
I remember
she presented to the librarians about it. Yeah.
I can feel the story coming together, because, you know, you've got your character, and that's the Ozobot, and it's going to, you know, maybe it's going to speed up and it's going fast. Is something chasing it? I don't know.
Yes.
It's got to go through the fence. Zigzag, zigzag, zigzag. It's gotten free. Hurricane.
Definitely. It's so good. And I've actually looked online before to get ideas. There's so many really good narrative drama, creating a storyboard, writing a script, and then you're literally making a diorama. And then you could make an iMovie of your Ozobot going through. Like, there's a really good one I always use, of them going through a haunted house.
Yes.
And then you can dress up your Ozobot and give it little costumes. And I've seen there's a lot of templates online. You can just print stuff off. Or we were making little sea bin costumes for ours. So, you could be super creative with it. But then I love the idea of not only making the story map, going that next level, designing, making it 3D, then turning it into a movie and adding sound effects. You're saying, speeding, what codes would you use to make your story stronger? And then a child narrates the story.
Yep.
Well, oh my gosh.
Now, because I'm just thinking on the fly, as I often do, and I wonder if you could do something around rules of games. I'm thinking of PDH.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a rainy day. It's raining all week. You can't go outside. but you want the kids to really understand the offside rule in soccer or something. Mm-hmm. I don't understand the offside rule in soccer, so this is maybe a bad example. But
rugby league, I can answer, but no, oh, soccer.
Well,
no.
Maybe it was a rugby. I like sports that sparkle, so. All right, so, but then if you imagined, I wonder if you could have like two Ozobots being the players.
Yeah.
Could you code them like one's running up the field and that sort of thing? I don't know. I'm wondering.
And then like my art brain's like, yeah, draw the cool, like someone could, like who's good at art could make the field.
Like the field map. Yeah, because an A3 piece of paper would probably be big enough, or two taped together.
You could film that really cool. Yeah. Mm. Oh, so, yeah, we could stick the little people on it. Yeah. Ronaldo and Messi and who's better?
Yeah. Clever. Yeah, I wonder. So, I don't know. I haven't tried that. I'm just talking out loud.
Yeah. So many ways to bring
other curriculum areas.
And stories to life too. And, oh, gosh, you could do maths with this. Easy.
Mm.
Yeah. I haven't, but totally could.
Well, let's give an example.
Putting you on the spot now.
Yeah, I'm just giving my brain a minute.
Even the one we were talking about last episode with the Cartesian planes.
Oh, yeah. Put them on the Cartesian plane and coordinates.
Making shapes.
Yep.
And then your line is drawing the shape. Yeah, you could.
I wonder, can you?
I haven't done this, but you could totally link it with art because you're drawing the lines for the Ozobot to follow.
Yes. I feel doing like we have picture. Talked about this before. Like doing a, like say you're. Narrative was
yeah. So the line itself is the because I'm just thinking of like a it'd be like a loop really, yeah. And you're drawing the pictures around it but for it to follow. But yeah,
did it like a treasure map, and then you told the story of like finding the treasure via the line on the treasure
yes.
map.
Yes, and you know what? Also, I'm thinking obviously with our new curriculum, there's a lot of focus and rightly so on Indigenous Australians.
Yes,
and. You could totally like link it with like Indigenous like or yarning circle or telling a story
telling us
with symbols or yeah.
To have a think about that.
Then I worry about it being respectful. That's what scares me. I don't want to say the wrong thing.
I have worried about that too. But yeah. A few people I've worked with over time are like don't be as worried about that. Like,
I know.
If you're giving it a go with respect in your heart.
Yes. Well, that's good to know because I always do. But then I think.
Better than not doing it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
What about some number line work with an Ozobot?
Oh, yeah.
Could you code your Ozobot so that it, you know.
And then doing addition with it. Yeah.
Yeah, like 7 + 3 or something and it went to 7 and then paused and then like did 3 more jumps or, you know, some strategies.
Yes.
That you might usually show on a number line, but the Ozobot is the one showing it.
Love that.
Sometimes, like, you could do it, but is it the most efficient way to learn that concept?
Yeah,
it's
true.
The other one? Perimeter?
Yes. Oh, my gosh, yes. Yes, around shapes.
But then what's the point
of the
coding?
You're just drawing it.
Yeah, it's really just following the line. Though, you know, so many kids get stuck between perimeter and area. So
you totally do.
If it was just that.
Because it's going around it, it's not inside it.
Like
yeah.
Just as another way of reinforcing that concept, perhaps.
Very cool.
All
right. So let's talk about cost. How much do they cost? So we've used the Evo.
We've used the latest one.
Yeah. So there's an older version, but as with most things, after they've been used for a while, the battery just sort of cucks it and doesn't
and
work
anymore.
Yeah, and
I think the Evos, they're Bluetooth.
Yes.
Because you can, when you're in OzzaBlockly, there's two ways of getting your code, if you're using the block coding, into your Ozobot. You can Bluetooth it. Best way. If you have the older ones or you don't have Bluetooth, you can flash load them. So you take your little Ozobot and put it on the screen and then it flashes.
Yes, I've seen it.
Ozobot
it like calibrates.
Yeah, the Ozobot reads the colours. We should talk about collaborating because you do have to like
on that
reset
dot.
Them. Mm. Yeah, but it's all in the instructions. Yeah. Anyway, so the flash loading, the Ozobot scans the colours that flash in your screen and that's how it gets the code.
Yes.
And it's fine if you're doing really short code.
Yeah.
But any sort of complexity, it's just not as good. So you definitely want
them
to be Bluetooth.
I've not used them coded before. I've only done it. The drawing.
It's just too painful. The kids who had the Chromebooks or laptops that would fold flat.
Yeah.
Because then you could just put it on top.
Yes. I've seen that online of the kids doing it on an iPad as those intro or how to use it activities. Yeah.
So it's good, but it's not as good as Bluetooth.
Yeah. But the Evo entry kit is around $345.
The one.
But a classroom kit. Yeah, they're expensive. Yeah.
Oh.
But that you'd need a classroom kit. Like, you wouldn't just buy one at a time. Oh, you would definitely. So a 12-pack, it's a significant investment, but it's roughly around $2,500 to $3,000 Australian. We were very blessed that we worked with our library and they had the budget to buy these things.
Mm.
My school just got money from a recent fundraiser and I requested I'd really like some.
I think you should hold off for the new ones.
Yes, actually. But the old ones will be cheaper. Yeah.
But the new ones will do more.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Well, she hasn't ordered them yet. But I definitely think if you're going to go to that investment, a charging station is a must.
Oh, absolutely.
You have to do it. Because trying to individually, the ones that we had, tiny. They were all those tiny little, I forget the name of the cord.
Tiny little, these like things. You charge a camera or charge
Yeah, you
a
just
speaker.
Plug that little one. Or like headphones have that charger. But it's compatible with pretty much every device. I've not had any issues.
Yeah, I haven't had any issues.
Chrome, Mac, Windows, iOS, Android. Yeah.
Yep.
Pros, look, it's an excellent screen-free option to balance digital learning.
It's really good for lunchtime clubs.
Oh, so simple.
Because it's fast to do the line coding.
Yes.
As long as your fine motor skills are there.
Yeah.
Doesn't take up too much space.
Yes, yes. And like I've said before, a huge library of over 700 plus lessons and there's an Ozobot classroom so you can save those lessons that you want to do and that out to your students that way. Yep. And there's content for kindy to year 12 on there.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's really good, highly engaging, and it promotes collaboration. And like there's issues, like you said, there's steps for troubleshooting with calibrating the device and debugging.
Yeah, sometimes I do find you get what you pay for. So you might be able to go to Kmart and buy a robot. $30
It's not going
to
do all this.
You're not going to get the support and the resources in the background that you're going to get like this.
Yeah. And look, cons, the battery life is quite short, like 40 to 60 minutes if you're lucky. But the cost for a full classroom set, it's high. But hopefully, if you're lucky enough, like in our system, we've got a library of resources that
and I know
schools
other
can borrow
systems
from.
Have similar things. I know Sydney Uni, they have a resource library you can borrow from. Yeah. Definitely worth looking out for options.
Yeah, and I guess another con, like we were just saying before, the colour codes, you really have to have some patience and have good fine motor skills to do it accurately because otherwise it won't pick up the colours. And if you've not got the exact shade of red or blue or green, it might not work. Or like you said, if you colour them and overlap the colours, it will read it as black or it'll, and then the whole code won't work. So, but like you said, that's learning. That's
all
how we all
learning.
Learn. So
it's all learning.
It's not a bad thing, but it's tricky. Yeah.
And I was thinking about it before. You can't use whiteboard texters.
No, because we tried. Yes.
Well, and it's because they're a bit, I don't know what the word would be, but like fluffy. And so some of the pigment can impact the sensor. Like it floats.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's why you're not supposed to use whiteboard texters. Same with pencils. I have used pencils in a pinch.
Oh, did it work?
Yes.
Did you have to press really hard though?
Yeah, and then really like brush off the excess. But in a pinch, I have used a pencil.
Oh, God love you.
All someone at Ozobot will listen to this and like, don't use pencils.
How dare you? Okay, so curriculum guru. Take us away.
Well, I feel like
we've kind of covered it.
We haven't got any specific,
thinking on the spot.
Specific curriculum references, but because the question lent itself to how do I
to link it to other things. But in our notes, we had computational thinking, mazes for maths, angles, measurements, which we covered, science, the solar system, even like there's so many and story maps or historical timelines with a robot going to different events in history would be cool.
Oh,
awesome. Okay, so practical applications too. Yeah.
I will say when I've taught these, because I've used them quite a few times, and I often start with just some of the codes. And I do this with other ones.
Yes, don't go,
as well.
Don't give them everything.
Yeah,
that's
don't
a good
give
point.
Them any, everything.
See, that's where I always go wrong.
Because if you're going to do them for a whole term, start with the basics.
Build it up.
Build it up. Then you write, well, something new and exciting this week. Here's a new code, keeps it fresh.
Yeah. And I think working in groups and getting them to learn how to take turns and they could troubleshoot together. Ideally 2 to 4 kids.
I would definitely say two.
Two.
But you can also, particularly if you're doing the line coding, say it was the number line example and you want to show some sort of jump strategy on a number line. Everyone can make their own number line. Take turns with the bot.
Yeah, yeah,
you can
yeah.
do something like that, but one between two, ideally.
Then they're sharing that task of the planning, the coding, the debugging.
Yep.
You know, they have to watch the code, see if the Ozobot does follow it, mm-hmm. and if it doesn't work, then they're problem solved together.
Yeah.
What's gone wrong? How can they fix it?
Yep.
Yeah, for sure.
Beautiful.
So with differentiation.
I think in terms of differentiation, you got to look and see what they're struggling with. If it's the fine motor that they're struggling with, you're going to stick them on Ozobotly. And if maybe the block coding's a little bit beyond them, well, they just stick with the line code, or you use the stickers or the magnets, or you draw the code quickly for them, whatever the solution
that's
is.
That's what we did. We had the stickers ready, but all we let them pick whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So they had the options there.
Yeah, just scaffold it like you'd scaffold any other task.
That's it. Like, I think so. Obviously, you'd be smart with your classroom management, with your pairing.
Oh, you know what else I was just thinking of? Because they're little, they are pocket-sized.
Ooh.
So be vigilant
careful
with the pack and they up. Could,
yeah, because you don't want them to go missing or get stepped on.
Yeah. Yeah, so be vigilant with your pack up.
Yeah, because they're different to a Sphero, that's for sure. Mm. Yeah, a lot smaller.
Are they called rugged robots, the big four-wheel drive one?
Oh, yeah.
Like it'd be a bit tricky to cart one of them home. So,
So I really feel like we've answered the listener question.
And
so we've given you lots of ideas for how you could apply it to HESI for English. And we've even thrown maths in there for you.
All sorts.
Lots of ideas.
Well, lovely Mary. I hope that you get lots of opportunities to use the Ozobots in your classroom.
Awesome. Well, we hope you enjoyed our eighth episode for Take It Up a Notch. And if you have the opportunity to try an Ozobot, please do and let us know how you go with it. Send us videos, photos. We love all that stuff.
Well, comment
tag
on the
us.
Post if you have a good idea and we'll give you a shout out.
Yes, for sure. And it's an awesome tool. So simple for anyone to pick up and use.
Yep.
So
completely
give it
agree.
A go. Yes. So follow us on social media, takeitupanotch.com.au, anywhere you get your podcasts. Also, thank you to this great podcast studio, the Hills Podcast and Video Studio at Bella Vista Hotel. We've really enjoyed using your space today.
Mm-hmm.
But so thank you. And don't forget to
take it up a notch.
Thanks. See ya.
Take it up a notch.
Do we say it's the Ozobot? I don't think we did.
No, because we're going to say it now.
Oh, yeah. I do voices.